Welcome to Drive Time, Slow Drive Time, your relaxing Sunday morning with Michael Corman. Here we are on the road to church. Going to church, going to praise Jesus. So I'm going to talk today about, politics and economics and stuff. No, I don't really like to talk about these topics because, you know what, I don't really care all that much. But look, you know, the time has come. The time has come to you know, there's some issues in the world. And look, so I was having a conversation with a friend about... This was last night. We were talking about Jordan Peterson and cultural Marxism. And we were talking about leftism. And I don't know. Look, cultural Marxism apparently is this phrase, okay? This is a phrase that is, it has this, this guy's just crossing the street in front of me, so I just stopped and I just got a little distracted because I didn't want to hit him. So I just wanted to pause there. And I'm thinking about him because he had a cigarette in his hand. And he didn't just run in front of the street, like he stopped at the crosswalk and I let him cross, you know, I waved for him to cross. And he waved back at me and he was wearing a mask. So there was cultural Marxism. This is apparently a term. It's a conspiracy theory. It's a right-wing conspiracy theory. And if you look up the Wikipedia article on cultural Marxism, you're gonna read all about that. This is a podcast about meditation. This is the Self-Defined Human Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Corman. And we're talking about deep insight. We're talking about the Buddhist meditation, Vipassana meditation. We're talking about sensory experience and phenomenology. That's the focus of this conversation. So cultural Marxism, if you look at the Wikipedia article, it's going to talk about, it's this right-wing conspiracy theory, okay? Something that Steve Bannon subscribes to. I don't know anything about it, okay? I never even heard the term until a couple days ago. Now, I know that Jordan Peterson, when he's talking, he constantly is referencing the postmodern, radical leftist, neo-Marxists. And I love Jordan Peterson. I have no issue with pretty much anything Jordan Peterson says. There are a couple things that I maybe don't quite have the same exact personality that he has, and so maybe I wouldn't say them the same way that he would, or, you know, I don't know, he's a separate human being. I'm not a Jordan Peterson apologist. Like, that's not, I don't care about that, and that's not my job, and that's not anything I'm interested in. But I don't think Jordan Peterson talks about cultural Marxism. I'm putting that in quotes, cultural Marxism. He talks about neo-Marxism, but I think that's different because I think cultural Marxism is a very specific conspiracy theory. So there's a lot of people out there that will say Jordan Peterson is the one who invented the term cultural Marxism, or he's the one who's propagated it. He's the one responsible for its popularity. But when I look this up, but I can't find him. I can't find any instances of him using the term cultural Marxism. There's a video on YouTube that has cultural Marxism in the title, and Jordan Peterson is talking for 45 minutes about neo-Marxism, but I don't think he's the one who posted that video. So whoever wrote the title of that video, see, that's the video that most people, when they are citing the fact that Jordan Peterson is the one who introduced the term cultural Marxism or popularized it, they will link to that particular YouTube video. But I don't think Jordan Peterson is the one who posted that video, and I don't think he's the one who wrote the title. And when I look through the video, I listened to a bunch of it. I haven't watched the whole thing, but I looked through the whole transcript on YouTube and I searched for the term cultural. I searched for every instance of the term Marxism, and I never saw the word cultural before it. So I don't think he used that term anywhere. And even if he did, even if somebody else used it and he agreed with it, or he, you know, didn't object to it, like, I don't see it as obvious that Jordan Peterson even knows what the term means in its conspiracy theory sense, because that just might be some fringe thing. Like, I reject that. So, but the question of economics, the question of is are the rich and powerful, like, so, okay, drink. The whole idea is, You have these threads, okay, that are all converging in this moment. You have individualism versus collectivism. You have liberalism versus conservatism. You have what else is there? Liberalism versus conservatism. You've got individual identity versus group identity. You've got the idea, the victim culture versus self-determination culture. You've got call-out culture. You've got so probably a few more. And you know, you've got like capitalism versus socialism. Like, these are separate issues. They're all separate issues, but somehow they all seem to be converging in what Jordan Peterson is called, modernism versus postmodernism is another one. In what Jordan Peterson is calling the radical left postmodern neo-Marxist ideology. Now, the idea of seeing society as hierarchies of oppressive power structures, this is the idea, this is the generalization of the idea. Now listen, I'm not a Marxist. I'm not an economist, I'm not a philosopher, I'm not a anything. I don't know anything. I've never read Marx. I don't know anything about it. Like, I don't care. And I'm more than willing to learn about it. If somebody wants to talk to me about it, I'm not gonna go out of my way and read 5,000 pages just so that some internet troll can have the satisfaction of arguing with me about this. Like, that's, I don't care about it. I view myself as being separate from all of this, okay? Like, I don't care about the left versus right thing, because I think that the left and the right are both necessary. I think we need both. I think we need liberals and we need conservatives. I think we need individualists and we need collectivists. We need all of these things because they're all important. We need modernists and we need postmodernists. Each of these is a strategy that's good to use at a certain time and not good to use at another time. So we need people who do these things. The problem is that we have these real big battles between them, as if one of these is right and one of them is wrong. And that's not the case. And this drives me nuts. The idea of seeing society as oppressive power structures. Like, this is a problem because this is turning it into a victim culture, okay? So if you listen to my very first podcast, episode number one about the drama triangle, I talk about victims versus creators. And the problem with this attitude, this radical left attitude. Now see, some people, when I say radical left, some people are gonna say, well, that is demeaning to people on the left. That's somehow lumping everyone together. And well, first of all, that's why the word radical is there, okay? The radical left. Second of all, I don't know what to say. Like, if you're on the radical left and you think that I'm somehow upsetting your sleep because I'm saying mean things to you, then I don't know. Like, I guess let's talk about it. If you think that if you're not on the radical left, or if you're on the moderate left and you think that I'm somehow causing more strife in the world by saying radical left and by lumping them in with postmodernists and neo-Marxists, none of which seem to be derogatory terms. Like, they seem like if you don't like them, then they're derogatory terms, but if you do like them, then they're positive terms. So I don't see them as being emotionally charged terms in any way. They're terms. They just are, you know. Some people will use the word socialist. They'll say, like, Obama was a socialist, Biden's a socialist, Bernie's a socialist, and they'll say that as if it's like some kind of insult, like, you know, Obama's a butthead, Bernie's a son of a bitch. Like, I mean, no, that's not the same thing. Like, those are insults versus just terms that describe certain ideologies or certain ways of thinking. And if you subscribe to those ways of thinking, then why would you see them as insults? I mean, I don't, you know, you can say, you know, it's like, even things that seem like insults, like if you say, Michael, you're a nerd, like, that is an insult. Okay, but I am a nerd, so I'm not insulted by it. Like, I'll call myself a nerd. Like, it's one of those terms that just, like, it doesn't bother me because I'm fine being a nerd. Like, I'm a geek. I'm a, you know, whatever. I'm an INTP. And, you know, some people use the word introvert as an insult too. I'm not insulted by it. Like, I'm an introvert. Fine. That's a personality thing. Like, I don't care. Whatever. So if those are insults to you, then I don't know what to say. But the idea, so the response is, well, but we do live in oppressive power structures. Like, power structures are oppressive, and money equals power, and, like, is this controversial? And look, I don't think it's controversial that money equals power. And I don't think it's controversial that people use power to oppress. Like, that does happen. That's not really the point of contention that I have with this. I mean, one problem here is, like, if you're viewing, like, okay, listen, Bill Gates has a ton of money. Bill Gates has a ton of power. I personally do not feel oppressed by Bill Gates. Now, so what's the argument here? Is the argument that Bill Gates is somehow using his power to prevent me from reaching his level? I don't see that happening. Like, as far as I can tell, Bill Gates did some stuff to get to where he is. I, hypothetically, could do similar things and get to where he is. I don't see that I would have to eliminate Bill Gates in order to do that. So I'm not clear on how that's working. Like, I'm really not. I could see that Bill Gates is maybe, I don't know how involved he is in Microsoft these days, because I don't know. I haven't been following that for a while. But back in the day, Bill Gates was the CEO of Microsoft, and he was certainly using his power to prevent other software companies from doing something, okay? And like, would you say that he's preventing them from toppling Microsoft? Maybe. But that doesn't mean that I don't see it as being the case that you see, because you can invent another opportunity. You can invent another place. See, here's the thing. Like, when I, right now, okay, here's an analogy. This is something from my own life. I have always looked at people who are good at communicating, like, I've looked at them as oppressors. Because when I look around, I see all the opportunities out there for people who are good at communicating. And me, you know, I'm very intelligent and I have a lot of skills, but I'm not good at communicating, and historically have been very bad at communicating. And so for me, like, I would look at them as oppressors. Like, why should they get all the opportunities? Like I have more skill than they do. Like, why do they get the opportunity that I don't get? So it's like there's this opportunity, and it's like there's competition for that opportunity, and therefore they're the ones getting it. So I'm not the one getting it, because the opportunity is this fixed, limited resource where only one of us is going to get it. So why should it be them? That's kind of the way I looked at it. I don't look at it that way right now, okay? Because for me, I said, like, okay, I want to make money. I want to spread ideas. Well, I could get mad at the people who are good at spreading ideas, or I could learn how to do it. So, like, that's why I'm doing this podcast, is so that I can get better at communicating. Because I see that in order to make the money, in order to get the power, it's like I have to be good at communicating. So I'm not sitting here trying to take down the people that are good at communicating. I don't see, that doesn't seem to do anything. And it doesn't seem, like, why would I suddenly be the one who gets the opportunity just because they got taken down? That doesn't seem like that would follow. So for me, I'm saying, I'm going to get better at communicating. I'm going to learn about marketing. And that is how I'm going to make money, okay? Once I'm better at it, then I'm going to be able to be, you know, you say more competitive, like, you know, yeah, there's competition. I don't think there's competition for, you know, there's not competition. It's like, this is very complex, because what we're competing for here is attention. And attention is, yes, it's a finite resource, but it's, there's a lot of it out there. That's the thing. Like, there's a ton of attention out there. Every one little unit of attention, yes, is very finite. You know, they can make more money. You can just, like, print more money. There's no reason that that can't happen. I don't see it. I think that's the big issue, is I don't see that we're competing for something that's limited here. And it seems to me that that's the issue, that Bill Gates is not, it's not like Bill Gates is stopping people from becoming rich. Now look, I am not a right wing, whatever. I don't care. I don't see that Bill Gates is stopping anybody from becoming rich. Like, I don't see that that's the problem. That if in order for people to get rich, like, we have to somehow eliminate Bill Gates or any of these guys. Like, I'm not seeing that as being what has to happen. I just don't see it. And we're talking about oppression. You're talking about, like, I'm not seeing it. Now, you may say, well, but that, you know, not everybody can do what Bill Gates did, because, you know, Bill Gates had certain privileges and certain opportunities in his life, and so that's why he was able to do what he did. And you take somebody from the slums of Detroit, what are they gonna do? How are they gonna possibly start the next Microsoft? Like, I don't see, that's not really what I'm saying. I'm not saying that anybody can just wake up and say, oh, I'm gonna be the next Bill Gates, and then just do it. Like, that's not the point. That's, like, not the point. The point is not that some people have better historical, are in a better historical position where they have more opportunities, of course. That's not the issue. That's not the question on the table here. The question on the table is whether Bill Gates is stopping people from becoming wealthy. Like, that's the question. It's not whether it's as easy for you to do it as it was for him because of historical, because of where, you know, who his parents were or where he grew up or what school he went to or whatever. That's not the question. That's a separate question, and that may be a question worth discussing, but that's not the question here. The question is whether the 1% are keeping everyone else down, and whether in order for other people to rise, we have to eliminate the 1%. I don't know. I don't see that as being obvious. Like, you have this, like, pot of water that's boiling over, and you have the lid on the pot, and the lid is preventing the water from boiling over. Like, I don't know that that's what's happening. I just don't know that that's what's happening. So if you think that that's what's happening, and that's, you know, that's where you're saying that I'm wrong about this, I don't know that that's what's happening, and I don't know quite what the advantage of that is either. Like, why do you want to believe that? You know, like, it doesn't empower you to do anything, because, you know, like, can you imagine that if I was like, in order for me to, like, I learned to code, okay? That's a word that we say nowadays. It's cultural appropriation, as far as I'm concerned, but I'm fine with it because I don't care about cultural appropriation. That term, I learned to code, okay? I never had the sense that in order for me to learn to code, that I had to somehow eliminate Bill Gates. I never had that sense. Now, I had big problems with Bill Gates. I had big problems with Microsoft. I was not a fan of the way, yeah, of a lot of this stuff. I was not a fan of it, but it wasn't from that point of view. It was from the point of view of, I didn't like what they were doing to the computing industry itself. I didn't like how they were, I didn't like it. And by the way, like, that's a preference. That does not mean that what they're doing, like, look, that's a separate issue. Okay, I'm at the church. Let's go praise Jesus, and then maybe I'll continue this.